Michael Cohen with the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
It's 6:21. We're back. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Emily Scarlett. Well, Governor Snyder signing a five-bill package into law, creating new economic development and community revitalization programs that will provide about $100 million in incentives for highly competitive projects in Michigan. The state's previous mega brownfield and historic tax credit programs are going away. So is this a good thing? To find out, I'm joined by Michael LaFave. He is the director of the Maury Fiscal Policy Initiative for the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. Welcome to the program, Mike.
Thanks for having me.
Now, aren't we really, though, seeing less incentives now that will be provided to businesses as compared to what we had previously?
Well, that's what it looks like on the surface. They've appropriated something about around $100 million for, quote-unquote, investing in economic development programs, closing a particular deal when you have competing states looking at your location in Michigan or another state. There might be cash laid out on the table or some other incentive to sort of to tip the scale in favor of Michigan. We've had these incentive programs in the past before, but they were much larger, and I'm told that we'll go from having expenses in the range of $500 million a year associated with these programs down to $100 million now.
Wasn't the problem, though, with the program is that it wasn't properly monitored? I mean, in a sense, if an incentive works, right, the companies have their side of it, and they have to come in and provide the jobs as long as we make sure they actually do that part, right?
Well, the question is, do they work? There's a mountain of scholarship, literally decades, that we've summed up on our website time and again that show these programs fail on their face, and even more, most of them fail on their face. And then once you start calculating if the costs outweigh the benefits, then even more so do. A few will occasionally get it right in terms of specific deals. However, even a broken watch is right twice a day. We found in two empirical studies that the Michigan Economic Growth Authority, the state's number one high-profile economic development program, created zero to negative jobs over its lifetime. And we looked at it in two different studies, two different years, two different data sets, and came to the same conclusion. Pat Anderson at the Anderson Economic Group came to the same conclusion as well.
So what does that mean? Companies were promising to bring jobs, they were getting the incentives, and then not doing so?
Well, it depends on which of our two studies you're looking at. What will happen is the companies will come here and say, yes, we're going to bring lots of jobs here if only it were for this economic development incentive. But then, of course, we find out later that they were going to move here anyway and just chose to shop for economic icing on their location cake. The best example, of course, is Border Books, which just filed, I think it was Chapter 11 bankruptcy and liquidated. They were one of the first companies to get a mega deal under the Engler administration, and weeks later, it was discovered that executives before the company put down deposits on new homes in the Ann Arbor area before MEGA even had a chance to become passed into law. They were coming here anyway, mm-hmm. and they just went shopping for goodies.
What about brownfield incentives? They played a big role in several developments here in Lansing. Isn't it smart to incentivize the modernizing of old facilities that otherwise are a blight to a community?
If they insist on doing so, I would look at it as an environmental program, not as an economic development program. I like the idea of a building in a downtown area being revitalized, but I also have to question why a company fled that building in the first place. Is it because the overall taxes are too high? Is it because regulation is too onerous? Those fundamental reasons no one looks at as long as they have the state to bail them out with some new incentive program.
We have seen an effect, though. I mean, we certainly have seen when it comes to the film incentives being taken away or greatly reduced, I should say, that a lot of film productions just went to other states that had sweeter incentive programs. So we did, in a sense, lose some business there, did we not?
But not on net balance. No state with a film incentive program has brought in more tax revenue as a result of film-related jobs from these programs than they've given up in goodies offered to these big Hollywood producers to film in their states.
I see. So the idea is then incentives come down, but also our tax rate is now going to be far lower, so that should be an incentive on its own terms, I'm guessing.
Absolutely. In fact, they've not only brought the business taxes down. They've made everything simpler, which I think is going to count for a lot. A fair field and no favors approach to economic development is far better for the economy. It's just not as good for politicians because they can't hold as many ribbon-cutting ceremonies.
Although there is something about the fact that you actually link job creation to an incentive, because without that, there's no guarantee, right? I mean, just because you reduce taxes, you're certainly not guaranteeing job growth from that.
Right, but if you're running an incentive program that hands out tax credits, that's the same idea. The fact of the matter is, the state could never prove with the mega program that the companies weren't going to create jobs here anyway, and just went to the state demanding goodies to do what they were going to do anyway.
Do you think if maybe we had a stricter monitoring program when it came to that kind of a link, that could have potentially worked a little better?
Well, I think it could reduce damage that is done, but unless you can be a fly in the boardroom of some corporate office, some corporate suite, you're not going to weed out those who were going to expand here anyway. And time and again, we've seen companies such as, I think it was Owens Corning or Corningware, I forgot the exact name, go to the state, say, we want a mega incentive. The state say, we want to give you a mega incentive, but the old law that you work under mandates that the local unit participate and give you something too. Only to be told to be going away, to leave by the local unit of government, so they never got the mega deal, and only to see the company locate in that community anyway. Research shows that executives tend to locate and expand where they want to be when the incentives run out anyway, because they know they're going to run out someday. So what happens is these companies just pick the location they want to be in and then go after the incentives.
I see. Well, that sounds like that's a permanent thing they're going to do. In a sense, they're always going to be hopping from one sweet spot to the next. In terms of the effect, though, of these changes, do you think we're a year or two or even 3 years before we see a dramatic impact? And many people say it certainly won't happen within a year that we see substantial job growth.
Well, economists will tell you that it takes a good 2 years for a policy program, large or small, to do what it's got to do in terms of economic growth or development. Especially the data I've seen has been federal changes to the tax code. So I wonder if, you know, we'll even see significant change that we can measure during the Snyder years. Often there are data delays. I believe, however, that we will start to see significant changes enough to measure during Mr. Snyder's term. And probably in the positive direction. The entrepreneurs and business people that I've spoken to have begun making additional investments already as a result of these tax changes. These are anecdotes, not empirical evidence, and we'll need to see how it shakes out.
Michael Lefebvre, director of the Maury Fiscal Policy Initiative for the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. Mike, thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.